So there's two parts really to getting a great high performance team. Two pieces in general terms. The first one is there's a hiring piece. So getting the right people. And the other part is the leadership piece, which is what we do once we've got the people. So when you are hiring, there's probably a couple of outcomes that that can happen. So the first one is what I would call we can get ourselves a winner. That's maybe a bit hard to read, but that says winner. And so the other option is what I call the chaff. And what I mean by chaff is when you're hiring, you want to sort the wheat from the chaff. The chaff is the rubbish. It's not so good performance. So a couple of options. We get good people or we get people who are pretty flipping average or below average. So that's on the hiring front. On the leadership front, there's a couple of approaches we can take to leadership in our business. And leadership is critically important. It's going to be a big theme for today. The first is that we can take a sort of an ad hoc approach, which is a sort of a bits and pieces approach. We kind of try to be a bit of a leader. We kind of do a little bit of stuff here and there, but there's no real plan to it. There's no real focus. We're pretty much just busy trying to get shit done. So it's ad hoc at best. I just think Bede's in the waiting room there too, Cam. And the second approach is the opposite to that. It's where our leadership is. It's designed and it's intentional, which means we're proactively working on our leadership. We're doing things in our business to be a great leader and build a strong team. So obviously there's different results. If we have an ad hoc approach to leadership and we're hiring the chaff, what we're going to find is that the result pretty much is a disaster. If we hire winners, but we don't do a great job at leading them and providing a great environment, what we're going to find is that those people they'll be dissatisfied. If we hire the chaff, but we are pretty proactive about how we manage people, what we'll find is that we're really disappointed. We're disappointed. We had high hopes, but they just haven't measured up. And lastly, if we get great people and we have clear design and intention around what we're doing in terms of leading our team, that's where we get the A players. Okay. And so what's the result? Well, the disasters, I don't know how to put this any other way, but it ends up being a cluster. It's a mess. If we hire great people, but we do a rubbish job of leading and managing them and setting up our team structures, they're dissatisfied and they leave. They leave for greener pastures. If we, we're pretty proactive, but we've messed up on the hiring front, that's where we have to move people on. We have to move them on. So pretty much we've got to free up their future. They're not good for us. They've got to leave. And the last one is obviously the one we want. These are our, our long-term stars. So we want to obviously get as many people into that area as possible. So there are two key parts. I guess the purpose of this is of getting a great team. You've got to hire well, and you've got to lead and create the right environment for them as well. Both of those things are really cool. It doesn't matter if if you don't hire the right people, you don't hire great, it's probably not going to matter that much how great a leader you are because you just didn't have the right material to work with in the first place. If you do a good job of hiring, but you don't lead and design the culture, you're going to be disappointed. They'll be dissatisfied as well. So it's not going to be the optimal outcome. Now, today, the scope of our discussion is not about hiring. We're not looking at hiring today. That's a bunch of other trainings, which we can look into down the track. What we are really focusing on is this area here. the leadership, how we actually manage, lead, create the right culture for our team. So we're going to assume, make the assumption that we've hired well, and we're going to leave the training on hiring for another day. And today, really what we're looking at is what you need to turn the potential of your team into actual high performance. And it's all about leadership. It's about culture. And I say leadership because that's the biggest difference you can make in your team is to actually change yourself. And that's probably one of the key messages today. That's the biggest lesson from today. You might want to write this down. Success is a team game, but it's a product of you. Success is a team game, but it's a product of you. That's massive, because any result we're getting with our team, ultimately, it comes back to us. Okay. Now, also, the training we're going to look at today is what I call a planet, if you like. So this has got like the overview of team management and leadership. We're not going to get into the specific how-to for all the tools and strategies that you can use to build a high-performance team. There are other trainings on that, but I am going to explain like the big picture, the sort of strategy you want to take to creating a high-performance team. Look, I understand if it'll be a bit teachy, but I think it's absolutely critical. I'm really excited about this session today. It's something that I love talking about, and I think you're going to find it, you know, super, super helpful. But it may challenge you, and if it does, that's great. You're in the right place. All right. So just give me a thumbs up if you're up for the challenge. Sweet. Okay. Now, before we just jump into the real nuts and bolts of it, I just want you to think about a sports team. So it could be any sports team. I watched the Super Bowl, which was fantastic with Tampa Bay winning. And there's a bunch of other teams. It might be a football team, basketball, cricket, AFL, whatever it is, doesn't matter. Think of a really high performance team. Now, if you think about that team, they're just so focused on getting the team to perform. And if you look back of stage, there is, you know, coaches, psychologists, masseuses, nutritionalists, sort of eight deep behind most of these teams. They have high performance habits. They do a lot of analysis and thinking and strategizing about how to actually, you know, play the game. They look at the opposition. And then on game day, they have a whole preparation routine. They warm up beforehand. They have a team talk beforehand. They play, you know, the first half or the first quarter. They have another team talk to refocus and reset. At the end of the game, they'll have a debrief. So there's a lot of effort that goes into actually creating the performance on the field. Now, I want you to think about that kind of effort and start thinking about how we translate that into the businesses that we run. Because if we want to be exceptional, which we all can be and are aiming to, then that's the kind of approach, the level of focus and intensity we want to take to actually building a great team. Okay, so let's talk through the problem. If we don't get a high performance team, what happens? Well, we find that the whole thing is dependent on you. You have to carry the load all the time, and that is very, very tiring. It's okay for a little while, but it's not fun year after year, month after month, year after year. It becomes very tiring and bad for your motivation. What it tends to happen is because everything relies on you, you struggle to actually get across everything. You can't keep control. You don't know what, you know, you're juggling a lot of balls. Maybe you're juggling them and you're juggling harder. Maybe some of them are starting to drop, but eventually they will start to drop because you run out of steam, particularly if you're still trying to grow your business and you feel powerless to get on the front foot. Like it's, you know, it's just you against the world. It's impossible to grow and scale because you are tapped out. And actually, if you're honest, the thought of growing makes you feel a bit sick. Because you associate pain, team hassles with actual growth. And if you associate pain with something, you're way less likely to do it. Now, the number of times I've heard it said, now, I don't want to get big because it's just stressful. Well, that's getting too big without the right team. That's certainly stressful, but with the right team, it's a different story. Next is, you know, maybe the team's a bit fractured. Maybe there's some issues there. So people can be at each other's throats. There's bad apples starting to rot out the barrel. The culture can get a little toxic. Sometimes as the owner, you can actually dread interacting with some of your team members, or at least some of them anyway. And sometimes it just feels like the lunatics are running the asylum. And you're a passenger. And ultimately, this leads to underperformance. You don't get the performance that you need or want out of your team. It leads to lower profits. Now, labor is a massive part of your gross profit margin. You have to buy the materials. It's kind of hard to muck that up too much unless you smash stuff or it gets stolen. But the labor can blow out massively, and that's where a lot of the job profit comes from. It leads to stress for you as a business owner. Leads to a lack of lifestyle for you as a business owner because you can't get away and you just feel stuck. And something you may not have thought of, it actually makes it difficult for you to hire because you're not seen as an employer of choice in the market. You're not generating positive vibes out into the labor market to generate referrals. And that cycle can get worse. It's seen as, hey, this is not a great place to work, or at least you're not getting the positive vibes out of your team into the broader labor market, which is pretty damn critical. You get this right, get the team aligned, everyone's in the same boat, they're pulling in the same direction, which feels real good. You got confidence, so you can trust your team, you feel confident to grow and scale because you know that you can scale profit and lifestyle rather than chaos and heartache. And you feel confident to take breaks, keeps your energy up and your enjoyment high. And I think that's huge. If you've got a great team, it makes coming to work a lot of fun. And get better productivity. More gets done, more money, because labor is strong, productivity is good, more time, you can delegate with success and confidence and more breaks, which is important. And lastly, referrals. I think this is huge. So you know when you've got the team vibe, the culture, the leadership, right? When your team starts referring their friends or associates to work for your team. That's huge. That's what we want. You know, when maybe they're at Tech or TAFE or doing their courses, they're talking about the great place they work. They bump into people at the merchants or the suppliers, they're talking about the great place that it is to work. Now, there's a tool, actually, it's called you might want to write this down, ENPS, which is the Employee Net Promoter Score. And it's a simple question. The question is this: on a scale of 1 to 10, how likely are you to refer a friend or associate to work at, insert your business name here, where 1 is never and 10 is extremely likely? Start asking that of your staff, of your team. And if you're not getting 9s and 10s, they're not very likely to refer. We want the team to be at 9 or 10. And when you create a high-performing team, that's much more likely. High performance leads to higher satisfaction. We don't want to just make them happy. We want to make them feel productive and like they're really working well. Okay. So five key principles here to getting a high-performing team. And again, suggest you take some notes here because this stuff is actually really, really important. Nothing is more important than this one. Perhaps it's the biggest lesson we want to get from the webinar. Biggest lesson I've ever learned, running and growing and scaling multiple businesses and teams. The first one I ever did was a restaurant. It was an absolute disaster because I was hopeless. So here's the lesson. I said it earlier. Success is a team game, but it's all a product of you. So when it comes to your team, you get the team you deserve. Get the team you deserve. Now, I'm not saying that if you don't have the team you want and they're a bunch of ratbags, that it's your fault. Although, if you're really blunt with yourself, it's hard to find anyone else to blame. It may not be your fault, but it is your responsibility to make it right. So it requires extreme ownership of results on our behalf as the business owner. See, the thing is, disappointment is the difference between an expectation and a result. So it's when your expectations aren't met with the results. And everything happens because of me. It doesn't happen to me. Sounds like some trucks backing outside. I'm not sure what that's about. You'll have to excuse that. So everything happens because of me, but it doesn't happen to me. So the message is here that to build a high-performance team, it really requires us to look in the mirror and always live above the line. That's to take ownership, be responsible for, and be accountable for our results. In other words, don't be a victim. Whatever result you got with your team, no point blaming anyone else. It's all about ponying up and seeing what we can do about it. So that's my challenge for all business owners, for me, for you, for everyone, is that every team challenge we have, even if it's not having enough people in the field, you've had a part to play, and you're the only person who can actually improve that situation. Now, for example, if they don't follow instructions, were they clear? Have you given honest and straightforward feedback? Did you create consequences for continued bad performance? Have you tolerated poor standards because you just lack the courage to call people out? Or maybe if you can't find any decent people, now it's a challenge. There's no doubt about that. No one's going to deny that. Marketing for talent is actually more important these days than marketing for clients. But have you put your best foot forward with advertising? Now, were you a bit slow off the mark when someone who looked good applied? Have you invested in training apprentices? Have you tried to get other staff to help, like maybe office manager or estimator? I can help with some of the work. Just a couple of days ago, I was talking with Scott and Ralph from Macbeth Plumbing, and Scott's tapped out. He's a senior tradesperson in the business, gas fitter, and we talked about what he's doing. We figured out that actually probably 20% of what he's doing, 20 hours a week, half of his work is gas certs, looking at jobs, checking invoices, etc. It's like, okay, well, maybe we could hire more of an operations manager to fill the role rather than a tradesperson, which they're looking for. And that role could be maybe half on the tools, half off the tools. It's a different role to advertise for, probably a more attractive role. So it's getting creative and clever about how we go about hiring. So that's not the topic for today, but it shows the point that it's what we do, not just waiting for stuff to happen or being a victim when it does or doesn't happen the way we want. So here's the thing I found, and this I think applies with our team and with all the relationships we have, because at the end of the day, team is a relationship. We can spend a lot of time and effort trying to change our team members, what's out there, but the biggest improvements in our team actually come when we change ourselves, the way we go about it. So I guess that the key lesson here is that change starts with you, and nothing changes until you do, until you become a better leader of your team. They're not really going to change. Number two, second key principle, invest the effort. So this is another critical thing. My experience is that most business owners actually underestimate how much effort's required to create a high-performance team. And I know this is probably not what we want to hear, but this is one of those situations where effort put in the right place pays more rewards. So we can put the effort up front and be well-organized and proactive and intentional, or we can put the effort down the track trying to catch people when they're falling over the cliff, when we've got a bunch of issues and frustrations. Kind of the same effort, but one has a good feel, one has a pretty rubbish feel. So that kind of concept. So if you think about, as I said, how much effort goes into an elite sports team, you look at Super Bowl. I mean, there were coaches 8 deep and analysis 25 deep. There's a lot of effort goes into it. Now, I'm not saying we need to do that, but actually to be great does require us to put effort into the team itself, not just the jobs. And here's why. Successful business is one that gives you profit. So we're aiming for black belt, $1 million profit and above. That's achievable. We had 2 or 3 people knock that off at last boot camp. We want time. We want to be able to have a lifestyle that we enjoy, and we want freedom. So we don't want to feel tied to our business and under the pump all the time. Now, there is nothing more important to achieving that than your team. That's the key leverage point to achieve this. So that actually requires a shift in us understanding our role as a business owner. So this is the key shift. If you're not stepping up to your role as the leader in the business, who's doing it? Is anyone doing it? And is that part of the challenge and what we need to take advantage of as the opportunity? So your job, whether you've got a small team or a bigger team, is actually to lead the team. It's a key role in the business. As your business grows, your job to lead the team, it's your team's job to do the work and actually grow the business. Now, here's the kicker, I guess. If you try and do all the work as well, and you end up letting your team down because you run out of time, you don't get to your performance reviews, you miss team meetings, you sort of renege on trainings that you said you'd do, this stuff will all fall over. So it might look like a good option in the short term, but it's really going to make it difficult in the long term to create that great team. By the way, creating a great team is not something that takes 3 months. This is a thing we're looking to plan over a 3 to 5 year period. So best time to plant an oak tree is 100 years ago. Next best time is today. Here's the other thing, and I know some of you will have found this. Actually, I'll talk through it. Now, some of you have built a leadership team. You've got an ops manager, an estimator, maybe even a general manager, and you've taken the foot off the gas and let them go, and it's turned into a mess. Actually, just put in the chat if you've found you've put a management team and you've stepped back and you've kind of abdicated responsibility and it hasn't gone the way you wanted. Just put "that's me" in the chat. I'd love to hear, because I know that's happened to people, particularly the first time they do this. I know some of you on the call, so just put "that's me" in the chat. Or you've put a key person in place and they haven't performed. Yeah, so there's about Lisa, Adrian, Jason, Toby, yep, Shane, yep, Dylan, that's our estimator a bit, sure. Okay. So even when we have a good management team in place, you can't take your foot off the gas. Yeah, so Graham and Michelle, yeah, I was thinking of you guys, that was us with our project manager. Gave them too much room, didn't give them enough support, basically abdicated our responsibility. So, it's crucial that we pour the love and the attention into our key players so they can perform and lead the rest of the team. So the other area that I think is important for us to invest the effort is to understand that creating a great team, high performance, is also, it's not just about looking to get great workers, it's looking to actually build great people. So we want to be different. We want to have the attitude that actually the most important people in our business are actually our team. They're our most important clients in a way. So how can I give them an experience like they've never, ever had before? Now, that doesn't mean nap rooms. And it doesn't mean beers and pizza whenever they want it. And it doesn't mean, kowtowing to the snowflake millennials with whatever they want. Doesn't mean that at all, because that won't work. I mean, if you think about it, if you do that with your children, they turn into spoiled little brats, similar to your team. What it means is helping them become better people because they've worked in your business. So that means, we look at how we help them be wealthier, buy a house, how we help them be good with health, relationships. Like young guys have issues with relationships and they're in tears in the tea room when their girlfriend leaves them. How do we help them deal with that? Mental health issues, all that stuff is a big part of it, right? And we can say, oh, it's too hard, and but this is the game. So we've got to pony up. Now, it is a bit of work, but the rewards are worth it. So we need to invest the effort. Okay. We want to invest the effort so we can systemize this stuff. So we invest the effort, but we want to build systems with it as well, so it's easy to run. So here's the thing I found. People don't rise to the level of their goals. They actually fall to the level of their systems and their habits. I think there's Alana's in the waiting room there, Chief. So like I said, people don't rise to the level of their goals. They fall to the level of their systems and their habits. So like any high-performance sports team, high-performance business culture, it starts with really high-performance habits. So habits are really driven by having the right systems in place. Because we don't want to do things one-off. We actually want to have a system that supports growth and team in the long run. Okay. So building a high-performance team, we have to have the right systems, the right processes in our business so it can create consistent long-term success. So we're not just looking for the 3 to 6 month team, we're looking for the next 5 to 10 years. So we build an unstoppable team. And it's kind of like the operating system under the hood. So that involves building team culture. And I'll talk a little bit about that soon. But it's all the things you need to do, like having a regular team meeting rhythm, having some meeting templates and scripts. It's having a performance review system. It's having some KPIs. It's having some training. It's having some team nurture activities. Now, don't get me wrong, doing social events with your team are great, but that's not building a high-performance team. If you just do that and everything else is rubbish, it's a waste of time. That's like the cherry on the top that makes them just love it even more. So it's important, but it's not, you know. Building a high-performance team is not just shouting beers and having a barbecue. It's way more than that. But the key with all of this stuff is that we actually block it and book it in our calendars, like the pre-loaded year training. So it's blocked and booked and that it happens like clockwork and it doesn't get pushed down the priority order when things get busy. Because if you commit to this stuff and you don't deliver it, you'll undermine all the good work you've done. Basically tells the team that this stuff's not that important. It's only about getting the jobs done. Just give me a hands up if that makes sense. Does that make sense? If you make commitments, don't follow through with them, that has a tremendously detrimental effect on your team culture. Okay. So let's talk culture. We want to build culture. So who's read Keith Cunningham's book, The Road Less Stupid? Just put your hand up so I can see. No, a couple of you have. Great book. If you haven't read it, highly recommend it. So many lessons in there. So many lessons. Currently reading it. Alex, you'll love it. Yep. So he said one thing in particular that I love. Culture eats strategy for breakfast. Culture eats strategy for breakfast. So what he means is that having a powerful culture is huge for business success. So it's kind of a difficult thing to understand in a way. So I'll give you an example, which I think helps. So for me, culture is about, you know, it's the difference between, say, let's say one plumbing business, for example, it could be electrical or landscaping, doesn't really matter. But let's say a plumbing business where the team rocks up in dirty uniforms, half the team doesn't have the right shorts on. So that's one team. The other team, another plumbing business, everyone comes to work looking sharp. And when the apprentice lets the side down, the other team members call them out and tell them to sort it out before the boss even sees or hears about it. That's team culture. Okay, so it's really defines the proper way we behave in our business. So it consists of like the, you know, the shared beliefs and the values that you as the business owner establish, and then you communicate and reinforce that actually shape you and your team members, you know, perceptions and ultimately behaviors, which is what we're concerned about. So here's the thing. Your business has a culture right now. The only question is it one that you've actually intentionally created, or is it one that's just happened? Because it's there either way. The way we do things is there. So we want to make sure it's one that, you know, we want, not one that just happens. Okay, and number five, create clarity. This is huge. So a lot of performance problems come from a lack of clarity. So disappointment, as I said, is the difference between expectations and results. But often the expectations are not clear, and therefore it's hard to get the right performance. So a difficult thing, more often than not, for our team members is that the expectations you have are not actually as clear as you think they are. So they had little chance of actually giving you the result you wanted because they weren't actually clear in the first place what it was. So, you know, if it's not written down, it's not clear. I can tell you that. It's just talk about that's not clear. So this applies in all areas too, like what does success look like? How should I do the job? What sort of feedback am I giving? I know it feels like hard work, but it's way better than actually chasing your tail and having to fix mistakes down the track. So we've got to be really clear on what we mean, what success looks like, how things are meant to be done, clear feedback, clear accountability. How do we do this? Well, there's a lot going on with team. And I know that it can probably feel a little bit overwhelming today, but we do need to understand the big picture, because I think this will help with every activity we take with the team. The Road Less Stupid. Yeah, that's a great book. Keith Cunningham. Okay. So, Cam, can you see the iPad there, buddy?
Yeah, mate.
Sweet. Awesome. Okay. So, a whole lot of stuff to think about and talk about. For me, there's really a four-step process to getting the team right. It's a simple four-step process. And we're just going to talk through that now. And then we'll go through some of the actual tools and strategies you can put in place in each one of these four steps to build a high-performance team. First one for me that we need to get right is clarity on success. So this needs to be written. Apologies, my writing's not awesome, but there we go. Clarity on success. So we need to write down and make it really clear what our expectations of good performance are for our team. And so there are a bunch of tools here, which I'll talk about in a minute, but they are things like your job descriptions. They are things like core values. You know, what does the business stand for? Things like KPIs and rules of the game, you know, how we do things around here. So we actually have to make it clear what we expect, and it needs to be written down so that people can understand what a good job looks like. So what I mean by that, let's take job cards for an example. You just need to do your job cards. We tell people that, but that doesn't really tell what we expect. It needs to be written down and crystal clear that doing the job card means your time is entered. You know, you press start when you arrive at site, you press finish when you end, you do the job card when you're on site, you take the appropriate photos, you ensure that any materials that you've taken out of the van or the truck are included, and that you advise the office if there's any follow-ups that need to happen. And so it's crystal clear what that looks like. So there can be no confusion later on when you say you didn't do your job card. Like, what do you mean? I did it like 2 days later, I did it. Yeah. It's got to be crystal clear. So clarity on success is important. Next one is clarity on how. So that's make it clear how you want things done. Not what the result is, but how to do it. Written, you know, systems and processes where appropriate. So that's your checklists. Might be scripts. Might be sort of standard operating procedures that you have, SOPs. That's what goes there. So the more we can make it clear on how to do things, easier it's going to be. It's kind of like the McDonaldizing of your business. Now, some things you can't do that for, but to the greatest extent possible, you aim to do that. The next step is clear accountability. Okay. So that simply is measuring people results against expectations, results against success criteria. So you actually have to, you know, review against success criteria. There's lots of ways we can do it, but it has to be done. Otherwise, what's the point? There's no accountability. It's just empty words, and we know what happens with empty words. Not much. People drift off. So we need clear accountability. And lastly, we need clear feedback. So feedback can often happen you know, when you're using the accountability tools like a performance appraisal or key performance indicators, but you actually do the measuring and then you've got to actually talk about what it means. So clear feedback. So that is a bunch of stuff. That's praise for a job well done. That's, you know, correction when missing the mark. That's consequences for continued poor performance. And that's coaching and training. Coaching and training. Sometimes it even involves clarifying some of the success criteria. You know, oh, shivers, that wasn't entirely clear. I need to make that really clear. Okay. So four-step process, really simply. Make it really clear what you expect and what success looks like. Make it clear on how you want things done to the greatest extent possible. Have clear accountability, measure results against expectations, and give clear feedback, praise, correction, and consequences. That's what we need to do to have a high-performing team. So you see, there's not a lot of talk about there about nap rooms and beers and barbecues. That's obviously important, but this is like helping the team be really productive, focused, on task, because people love to feel productive. Winners are motivated when they feel productive. Now, if you've ever worked in a business that wasn't organized, where there was no real leadership, how did you feel? Pretty average. We want to give them an environment where it's killer. So I'd love to know which part, and put this in the chat would be awesome, which part do you think needs most work right now in your business? So is it clarity on success, clarity on how, clear accountability, or clear feedback? Love to know where you see the room for improvement is in yours right now. Clarity on how, accountability, how. Joe, on how, all, to be honest, sure, okay. David, all of them, all parts equally, the hows, success, clarity and success, Adrian, all of them. Clear feedback, yeah, that's an important one. Feedback, how and feedback, Michelle. Lucretia, feedback, Mike. Sorry, all parts, okay. Alana, admin team, clarity on success, the trades, clear feedback and accountability. Yep. Scott, parts of all of them. Adrian, reviewing against success criteria is a goodie. Success plus other three. Brian, nice. Like the way you put that. Okay. Help to clarify success, Janine. Someone's just said the whole shebang, Dan and Jono, the whole shebang. Okay. Now, I know this can feel a little overwhelming. We don't have to do this all at once. And we can actually start with any of these areas is going to make an improvement. That's the good news. Michelle, they're all linked. So if one isn't working, then surely we must need all to work. For sure, but you have to start somewhere. Okay. Nice, team. So what I'd love to do is just talk through each one of these and give you some tools that you can actually use to improve. So let's jump in and do that. First one is clarity on success. So that simply is, you know, what are the expectations that we set? What does a good job look like? And I talked about the job cards. It's outlining, you know, what you mean. Photos done. It's done on site. Any changes that need to be communicated to the office, get done, make that crystal clear so that when someone does that, you can say, well done. And when they don't, you can say, hey, well, this is, you knew what the criteria were. Is there some misunderstanding here? Did you misunderstand what I meant? If they didn't, it's like, well, you understand that this is what we require. So what are the actual tools we can use to do this? Well, there's some really good ones. The first one is your core values. So core values might sound a bit woolly to some, but the more I'm in business, the more I understand this stuff is absolutely critical. So that's really, core values are your company's identity. They are the principles, the beliefs, and the values that are important in your business. And they sort of dictate your behavior and help people understand right between wrong. Now, this is a copy of our core values. I've got a copy here. Use it all the time. in our team meetings. When hiring people, we go through core values. When inducting people, we talk through the core values. A massively important part of the business. So they basically define the type of culture that you want. Now, there are examples on the membership site of core values that you can incorporate. I know some of you have done this already, which is awesome, but it's a great tool to have. And if you can talk about core values, you know, even when you're hiring people, that's really different. And the winners love that. They're like, actually, this is a kind of a place that's got its stuff organized because they know what's important. So we want to define the type of core values that are important in our business. So there's a good question here. Dylan, do you have rules of the game as well, Tony? Well, the second thing you want to have is rules of the game. So rules of the game are not so much the stick that you're going to beat people with, but it's more like if we go back to the sports team analogy, if you want to play a game of sport, you need to know what the rules are. Because otherwise, it's just basically MMA, right? It's just people in a cage fighting. So you need rules. Otherwise, it's an absolute mess. And that's what happens in our business as well. So for example, and there's examples in the membership side of rules of the game. You can grab those and use those and tweak those. You know, you might have rules of the game around lunch. So our rule of the game is that you bring lunch to site. You don't go down the road to get lunch. The expectation is that that's the way we work. The expectation is, you know, we start work at 6:30 a.m. if that's you, and we arrive 5 minutes early so we can hit the ground running. Make that expectation crystal clear. Crystal clear expectation around noise, radios, etc. on site. Just make it really clear how you want it to roll. It's your business. You know, you can, in conjunction with your team, put together the rules of how you want this to roll. But when you have them, then you can point back to them and say, actually, that's how we do things. We talked about this. You're doing really well, or you're just not meeting the mark. But if you don't have them, it's like, oh, I can't remember you saying that. Oh, I never heard about that. Oh, that didn't make sense. So the rules of the game are important for that. So Scott just said, we've got our core values and rules of the game put on a canvas to go on the wall where everyone can see it. You pull it down and chat about them every now and again. That's awesome, yeah. So this stuff, it's not a one size fits all. It needs to be continually talked about and reiterated. And that's what happens in your meeting structures. You'll do that. You can talk about a different rule of the game. It's not a set and forget, but you need these things up front to set the success criteria. What are your job descriptions? So have you clearly outlined what the job involves, what the extent of it is? That's part of the success criteria. Having some KPIs and key performance activities. So KPIs are results, like you know, if maybe for your operations manager, your project manager, your foreman might be, foreperson might be, to achieve a certain level of gross profit. So KPIs are results. KPIs are key performance activities. So they're the behaviors that you want the team to exhibit. They're like the feed forward indicators of success. So things like, you know, job cards being filled out accurately and on time might be a KPA for a team. So get these outlined so people understand what's exactly expected. Team Alignment Day is a great way to set the direction. So Team Alignment Day can be used in a number of forms, but it can be a way to actually reset and talk about the expectations, what success looks like you know, down the track. So that's another tool we have in our toolbox. Your induction process. Well, this isn't exactly setting the expectation as a thing, but it will be part of your induction process. So you talk about expectations when you hire someone, you talk about them as soon as they come on board. So you're starting to bake in what success looks like in the business right from day one. Much easier to get it right at the start than have to, you know, chase your tail and change people down the track, which you definitely can do and should do. But it's good to get it right at the start. So those are just some examples of how you can get clear on success. Make it really clear for people what's expected. Here, it's got to be written down. It's got to be talked about. It's got to be revisited. Next is clarity on how. So that's just how to do the job, how to do the task. There's a bunch of stuff there. And we don't need to go into detail with all of these. I just want you to know what tools you've got in the toolbox to help get this right. Obviously, the induction process, you'll talk about how to do stuff. Checklists are huge. So quality assurance checklists for finished jobs. Take everything that needs to be checked, get it on paper so that key person who's in the field or on site or the master craftsperson can actually check the stuff off, check the job off. Pre-job checklists, upselling process, quote request forms. When your estimator or pricing person or QS goes to site, do they have a template that they can go through and basically just have to tick the stuff that applies, make sure they don't forget stuff? That's a great way to teach people how to do stuff. Process flowcharts, so mapping out the steps in the process, that can be really helpful. Scripts, massively helpful. So this is an example of the inquiry script we have in the membership site. So if you want people to answer the phone in a certain way to show the professionalism of the business, provide great customer service to get the right information, to pitch your service fee, and your pricing so that you're qualifying people properly to get payment details, you want to have a script word for word written down. Now, I know that this is a lot of stuff, but I think it's important we understand all the tools we have, and then we can go down to the small details and just start working on them one by one. And some of you have got a lot of this stuff already. Adam just said, our quoting checklist is a tiny one-page document, but one of our most helpful tools to get all the information together. Massive. Yeah, really good share, man. Appreciate that, Adam. Scripts are important. Hey, even training videos, particularly when you're training new people in how to use software in the office, having a series of small training videos you can use Loom, L-O-O-M, just to record, how you use your software, do a short 5-minute, 2 to 5-minute video. You can talk at the same time, pointing out all the bits and pieces. You record it once, you're done. You can get people to watch it. Absolutely gold. I'd actually love to know, who here has used screen recording software, Loom, Jing, to help build their training materials? Just put me, yeah, thanks. Yeah, cool. Bunch of people. If you haven't done that, it's absolutely killer. Small bit, Brian, Simon, yep. Yes, for our office manager. Yes, and we have Office 365. You can save them in Microsoft Stream for free. Perfect. Yep. Have had members before have actually done training videos on how to do work in the field, as well. Which is much easier than actually writing out a step-by-step training process. Way easier to video it. Way easier. Like, takes about a 50th of the time. It's having some standard operating procedures about how things are done. It's having a ops manual or an admin manual as well, with everything stored so it's clear. And training. Hey, we've got to jump in and do some training, both initial and ongoing training for the team. Sometimes you can get outside help for, from suppliers or merchants or service providers, actually help with the training as well to actually spread that load. So that's the how. Bunch of stuff we can do there to make it clear. Key thing with the how is you can't systemize absolutely everything. Some things are exceptions. That's why we need human beings. But just start with the stuff that, like the 80-20 rule, the 20% of the stuff that gets done 80% of the time. You work on systemizing that first, and that'll make a huge difference. Next is clear accountability. This is a biggie. So no doubt, for a great team, you have to have clear accountability. And that means you're talking about results and expectations. And that's really, it's really about having the right systems for accountability. Yeah. That is, are you measuring up to the standards expected? So it's not just about catching people out when they aren't cutting it, because that's You know, that's part of it. We also want to catch people out when they're doing a great job as well. We want to do both of those things. We want to give praise and acknowledgement and thanks and appreciation for good work. That's massively important for your winners. Can't emphasize that enough. The winners absolutely love that. And it's also seeing where people aren't measuring up as well. So what are the tools we have for this? Well, it's your KPIs and your KPAs, doing those regularly. That's a big part of it. So are they hitting the standard or not? And where are the areas where they're missing? This one here is important and probably not thought about a lot. It's what's your structure, organization structure? So don't stress about that too much. Basically, what it means is as your team grows, and some of you have got quite substantial teams, you've got 20 or 30 or 40 people, and some of you have still got smaller teams of 3 or 4 or 5. Structure means, are we clear on who reports to who? And there's a concept in structure. It's called unity of command, which means one boss, one channel of communication for feedback and instructions. So I don't know what you're like, but if you have kids, and I've got 4 of them, it's a bit like the kids asking mum, and mum says no, and then they come ask dad, and dad's got no idea what's going on, and he says yes. And mum and dad go to sleep bum to bum because she's not happy with them, but it's because there wasn't a clear structure. So that happens in business quite a lot, and particularly as you grow your team. It's very easy for us as the business owner to consciously or even unconsciously go behind the back of the people we've put in place to manage stuff, not even deliberately, but we just kind of do it with a corridor conversation. And really, we're still running the show, and the person we've put in place to do it has been undermined. So we've got to be really clear on what the channels of communication are and accountability. Performance reviews, so that we actually go through and you grade people and give them the areas where they're working well and not working well. So they're massively important. We want to do that at least 6 monthly. There's templates in the membership site which you can use to do this, and you can tweak them to suit. Actually, something else I didn't put in here, which Lucretia, that just reminds me, GPSs are a great accountability tool, by the way. Huge accountability tool. So if you don't have one, I strongly suggest that you do. Next is feedback. So this really simply is just step 4. So we've got clarity on success, clarity on how, clear accountability, clear feedback. So that's where we explain to people, are they hitting the mark? Are they exceeding the mark? Are they missing the mark? It's where we give coaching, support, and training where there's a miss. Hey, it's where we find out why their performance issues may be actually occurring. So I don't know about you, but I'm a human being and I have stuff going on in my life which can affect how I'm feeling. So personal issues, mental health issues, family dramas, there's a whole bunch of stuff that may cause someone who's actually a pretty decent rooster to have a few challenges. So we just want to find out what's going on. We keep that communication channel opening. That's what building a great relationship and trust and vulnerability is all about, which is a key part of being a leader. We actually have to show people that we care. Best way to do that is actually caring. If it doesn't come right, then we go into the performance management side of things, which means, hey, we actually got to take active measures to manage their performance till it either improves or it doesn't, and they have to exit the business. Michelle and Graham just said client testimonials are great positive feedback for staff. Yeah, so you can share those as well. Now, the feedback is also an opportunity to talk about their goals, their development, the next steps for them as a person and in their business. It's where we give praise, acknowledgement, and thanks for good work. And it's also where we clarify if people aren't clear on what was being expected. So it gives us that opportunity to just tune up on what success looks like again. So it's that kind of 4-step process. What do we do here? What are the tools we've got? Well, first one is having difficult conversations. Okay. So I have a question, and I want you to be honest. who here, and just put it in the chat, who here has put off a conversation with a team member that they know they need to have? Just put that's me. Yeah. Yes, was to our detriment. So I would say that pretty much everyone here has had that experience. I have as well. Lucky, I used to put them off, now I hit them straight away. Yeah, you learn from experience, for sure. So here's the thing. Without consequences and real-time feedback, your standards mean nothing. So I would write that down. Without consequences and real-time feedback, your standards mean nothing. So this has to be done in a timely manner. If you don't do it, you're actually undermining the culture that you've built, because your other team members will see what's going on and be like, oh, well, he's not really serious. Now, I'm not talking about chewing people out and being, you know, real hard ass all the time. Just talking about having a conversation. Amelia, it might sound silly, but I'm struggling to come up with the consequences for the same stuff happening. Yeah. Well, the thing is that the consequences, if they can't perform to the level that they need to and that they've been hired to, that's what you pay them for. And it's about, well, are they the right person for the job? So the ultimate consequence is actually the job. Now, there's a training in the membership site called How to Have Difficult Conversations. It's in the 10-minute tactics area. That's a great little training to watch for how to have those difficult conversations. I highly recommend you jump in and do that. Next one is team meetings. I think these are important. So run them. You might need a general team meeting. If you've got a bigger team, you will have other meetings. You might have an operations meeting. You might have an estimating meeting. You might have an office meeting. So it depends on the size of your setup. Here's the trick with the meeting, is block it and book it in advance. If you think weekly is too much, don't do it weekly. Do it fortnightly or monthly. But plan when you're going to do it and stick to that timeline and have an agenda. That's really important. So it's organized. So team meetings, and I just can't encourage enough, and it could be difficult at the start. Team meetings are an opportunity for communication, both you to the team and team back to you or your key leaders. So stick at it, because it can take a while to build up the trust so that that communication channel flows. The next one is something that we introduced into our business and into the membership program probably about 4 years ago. I think it's absolute gold, and I know people who do it. In fact, I'd love to know, if you're doing a 20, just write 20 in the chat and how you find it. Just a real brief description. So the 20-minute coaching session is just what it sounds like. It's a 20-minute coaching session with your team members. And it's designed to show you care, give a forum for communication, give an opportunity to give feedback, review KPIs, and talk through suggestions. How often do you do them? Hey, with your key team members, I reckon you do them weekly. So if you've got a management team and you're acting as the general manager, I would do them weekly with your estimator and your office manager and your operations manager. For your tradespeople and the people in the field and your techs, you can do these monthly. Don't need to be weekly. Monthly is fine. And they should be done with their direct report as well. Okay. So let's see what... Calvin, 20, got one after this. Lockie, 20 is great. Yep, Damien, it's part of my 6-week plan to implement. Cool. Scott, 20 is great. Team, love it. Shell and Graham, 20 provides regular two-way feedback. Cool. Nathan, is there a webinar on the 20? There is a training on it. Not exactly sure where it is, mate. I'll look into that. Cam, if you can make a note of that, mate. 20 is great. probably need to be more structured. Yeah, Adrian, we'll try this. Hey, mate, got to go. No worries. Thanks, Dan and Jono. Okay. So this is about investing the effort. Do this consistently. It might be a bit awkward at the start, but you'll find that people really froth on having just 20 minutes dedicated to them and their development and their performance, an opportunity to feel the love, as it were, from you as the leader or your key leaders in your business. Next is performance reviews. Simple. They're a great tool to give feedback and have a discussion about performance and about goals and where to from here. So the 20 is like tiny little performance reviews along the way. And the performance review is like the big daddy, if you like, every 6 months. If you're doing 20-minute coaching sessions, then there shouldn't be any major surprises in the performance review, because if you're waiting for 6 months to give feedback about what's not going well, you're waiting way too long. That horse is way bolted. So performance reviews are definitely a great way to give feedback. Joe, we have a daily team meeting from 7:30 to 8. Cool. And that's like a team talk, right? So if you think about the sports team, they have a team talk before they go out, hit the ground running, highly motivated and clear on what they need to do. Okay, so key message really is this. Your team, success is a team sport, but it's about you. And building a great team is really an inside-out job. It's about how you change as a leader and then what strategies you put in place. There are four key steps. Really simply, the four key steps are clarity on success. It's got to be written down. Clarity on how, that's your systems and processes that are written. Clear accountability, holding people to the expectations that you have, measuring those results versus expectations, and then clear feedback. Praise, consequences, correction, training to help people understand where they're sitting.